As an oncologist, I always like to ask you about what you think about what's going on in the medical oncology community. And I guess what I've seen is the dose-dense AC paclitaxel has been so well received. Our patterns of care studies show it's overwhelmingly the most common regimen used in node-positive disease. And I think oncologists have gotten so comfortable with it, they're using it in lower and lower risk patients in the node-negative setting. Is that what you're seeing?
We're seeing that too. I mean, that really has been very, very widely adopted. And as I said, I sometimes like to tease our medical oncology fellows in conference because when they're asked what they'll do for adjuvant treatment, they'll say, well, this patient is high risk and she should receive dose dense. And it's like, since when did the definition of high risk move to include a 15% incidence of relapse? I mean, obviously, we'd like to make that better, but to me, that's not what I'd call high risk.
You've also made the point to me in the past about the fact of oncologists being so oriented around chemotherapy and maybe not as sensitive to hormonal therapy and seeing some advantages with the AIs over tamoxifen. What's your take on the AI situation at this point?
Well, I think the AI is based on a very strong series of studies have clearly become, in most places, kind of the standard postmenopausal first line therapy. And I think all of that fits in with this whole idea of tailoring treatment. And I think oncologists have been hit over the head with the importance of endocrine therapy in the last few years to the point where it's impossible to ignore. I think the interesting question coming up now that there's not any great answer to is, so what do you do with those 50% of HER2 overexpressers who are ER/PR positive, who you might not otherwise choose to give chemotherapy to, but because the trastuzumab data comes with chemotherapy, we are now seeing the switch to giving these women chemotherapy to make sure that you get the big trastuzumab benefit. And that's clearly a trial that's asking to be done in the setting of receptor positive women and endocrine therapy and trastuzumab, in my opinion.
Without chemotherapy.
Without chemotherapy.
Yeah, I think that actually is being looked at. And you think about these older patients, maybe with comorbidities, who normally, you wouldn't think about chemotherapy. When you see those trastuzumab curves, you get pretty interested in using it.
Exactly. I mean, it seems a shame to forego that benefit, which is so dramatic.
And of course, we have absolutely no information, though, on whether or not trastuzumab without chemo would be effective or how effective it would be.
Exactly. Yes, I think that is a truly open question.